The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
Have fun with your important conversations and your big issues with your brains and your smart stuff, okay? We got hockey to learn.
Dr. Hockey.
Welcome to the Dr. Hockey Podcast. I'm Dr. Jay Calvert, and it's holiday time. It's 4th of July time, so we have some amazing interviews in this off-season that are very current and very much dealing with what's going on with the draft and with the free agency season. We're having Jim Fox, who is not only a Fox Sports West guy for the LA Kings, but he's a former player. He's an analyst, but also I want to mention he is now a vintner, and he has a single vineyard designate Pinot Noir, and his information, it's for Patine, if I said that correctly, I hope so, Patine Cellars. And the information and website is patinecellars.com, P-A-T-I-N-E, cellars.com, which I love Pinot Noir, so I am definitely going to check that out and order a bottle or two and see if that'll fly. In fact, I might see if I can get Jim interested in doing a little Patine Cellars for the Concern Foundation silent auction. That might be a nice little case of wine as a silent auction item. So our interview is coming up here. Had a great time chatting with this guy. Hope you enjoy it. And please stay tuned, because the whole crew will be back in the studio very shortly. I think our next date in studio that'll drop is going to be on the 12th of July. So that's when it'll show up on the podcast, but we'll do it live. We always have our Instagram live running when we're in the studio doing stuff. So keep in touch with us through the at Dr. Hockey Podcast Instagram or at Dr. Hockey Podcast Twitter account. You can always check me out directly at Dr. J Calvert, DrJayCalvert on Instagram. I don't do much on Facebook. I do a little bit of tweeting here and there, but mostly it's the Instagram. So really glad everybody's been enjoying the podcast so much. It's been great, because our sponsors, Indochino.com and NeverTooHungover.com, are loving it, because we got a lot more people on the podcast in the off season. So people are thirsting for hockey, as we are. We can't wait. It's 100 days for the puck to drop, by the way, in case anybody was wondering, because I'm not counting or anything. I actually am counting. I have a calendar, and I can't wait for, because I know the, first of all, some of the first games. Just do a quick little review. Teeing off in the Honda Center for Dr. Berkeley and I, it's the Detroit Red Wings and the Anaheim Ducks. In the Staples Center, Sharks Kings. Great home opener. And I think somehow I'm going to have to fly to Pittsburgh to watch the Capitals at the Penguins in the PPG Center. So these are great home openers. However, I want to preface my comments with one thing. No matter how excited I get about a home opener, it still looks like the guys are skating with glue and tar stuck to their skates, because it takes them a good 6 weeks before they crank it up. With that said, let's go to the interview with Jim Fox, and let's talk some Kings.
This is for you, Kings fans, wherever you may be.
Well, it's great to have Jim Fox on the Dr. Hockey podcast tonight. Jim, how are you doing?
Doing great, Dr. Hockey. What's happening?
Well, you know, we're talking about the draft and the free agency that's coming up and the Kings. So I've got a lot of questions for you, and I'm looking forward to hearing your opinions.
Sounds great. No, it's been an interesting last couple of years, and just generally speaking, to me, it looks like the Kings are back on a path in which they're going to, you know, they started last year to kind of change the style that they were looking for. And I think that goes to personnel. Then it develops on the ice with how you attack. And I think they're in the midst still of that change, but hopefully it keeps getting better.
Yeah. I mean, it was sort of a shocker when they finished the last year, did not make in the playoffs in 2017. you know, and then having that wholesale change of the front office personnel and new ownership practically. And I didn't know it was going to happen last year, but they seemed to, you know, pull it together and make something happen.
Yeah, I think they went back to the foundation, which, you know, obviously was the defense. And it is a lot more fun to play an up tempo and creative style and move the puck around and score a lot. And, you know, the Kings, again, I think they're on their path to that type of a style, but I think they all realized, and you know what, it was kind of, you know, the way we say it, it's in their DNA. You can all want to play this fun style, but the way they were successful in 12 and 14 was by playing solid D. Now you look at back at the season that just passed, the Kings were the number one defensive team in the entire league.
Yes.
So, you know, they, you know, don't like what happened in the first round of the playoffs, 4-0 against Vegas. At the same time, you know, it's not like they're awful, and it's a great starting spot to have when you know you're sound defensively, and then hopefully grow from that and build on the offense.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. They got back to the, you know, we had Mike Richards on the podcast, you know, and they got back to that that base of blue line, you know, solid play that really got them those two Stanley Cups. You know, it was the foundation that they built on to make that happen.
Yeah, I think as much as, again, you know, you sit in the locker room and, you know, you have new coaching staff and everyone's turning around and Rob Blake takes over up top. And, you know, everyone looked at the numbers and they realized that the offense was lacking. And
yes.
And again, I think that, you know, through the room, you get that, oh, the vibe comes through and it's okay, we're going to be up-tempo and we're going to have so much more fun. And then you get on the ice and you realize, you know what? What we did so well was play that solid D, and they went right back to that. And I think that's something that will be in all that core group that won the Stanley Cups, and they're still a big part of that with the Kings right now. That will never change. As much fun as it is to play offense, it's still right that they know what it feels to play solid defense and how important that is.
Well, I think the teams that play the crash the net offense certainly pay a price for that. And I think we saw that this year when you know, the Penguins really, you know, thought that they could, you know, they sold out Trevor Daley and Ron Hainsey, got rid of the bulk of their defense. They traded Ian Cole at the trade deadline. I mean, they literally, you know, went down to like, well, we hope that the guys we have can hold the line because we're going to just go try to score more goals than the other teams. And they weren't able to do that. And it proved to me to be their ultimate weakness in trying to three-peat was that they really mortgaged the defense. You know, they needed more D at the trade deadline. They got rid of Ian Cole and got Derek Brassard. That to me wasn't an answer to a team that was defenseless. And you saw it when the Caps came to town. They had their number and took them out.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's very interesting to me. You're touching on an area that, I mean, if we let's analyze the Capitals defense and the Golden Knights defense and tell me if it's going to knock you on your back, I don't think either of those defense corps scare anyone.
Nope, not at all.
Yet they were two final teams standing.
It is amazing.
I think, and I don't know how to quantify it, and I wish I did. I probably could if I spent a couple of hours or a couple of days and you know, it has been changing. The path to success in the NHL is changing. It is going away from defense to offense. Now, there is always, and we just talked about the Kings, there's always going to be that defense wins, right? Isn't that what defense wins? And that will always be part of it.
Yes.
But you take a look at the numbers and how things are getting done and who's having success, it seems like as much as it can change mathematically and statistically, it's changing to a point where it seems to me the priority now is on putting the puck in the other team's net as opposed to keeping it of your own. Now, of course, you have to do both. If you're going to win it all, you have to do both very well. But there has been a slight change. And again, that's part of, I think, why the Kings are kind of they're massaging their roster right now and their personnel to look for a little bit more skill.
I definitely think they are. And I think they have the, you know, I think the biggest problem for the Kings has been the salary cap and the contracts that they have right now, especially guys like Dustin Brown and Doughty. They have contract issues that make big movements difficult for them.
Yeah, I think that is the norm. I think once you have success, it's it is a cycle that sometimes is not, it's a vicious cycle at times, but it is a normal cycle because you have to pay the guys that brought you success.
You do.
And when you do that, then you do limit to a certain extent your ability to grow and continue to grow, because all of a sudden now you have a fixed cap.
Yep.
And that's something that not all sports have, but you find yourself into a situation where you success your way out of it.
Yeah,
because
it's,
you can
it's
no
true.
Longer keep up. And it's numbers that way. There's one other, and it's very difficult to talk about because the seriousness of the nature of the offense. But, you know, a big issue, and, you know, people will talk to me all the time, or they'll hear me speak, or we'll talk about the topic I'm going to raise right now, and they'll say, oh, that's just an excuse of that, you know, all that. Well, you know, what's the difference between an excuse and a reason?
Right.
And again, I'm talking about exclusively on the ice, because the off-ice issue was very serious and will always be serious. But the Kings on the ice losing Slava Voynov for nothing and not being able to replace him is a dagger. I mean,
yeah.
He's your second best defenseman. Now, again, I'm only talking about the on-ice issues.
Right.
He's paying his price for what he did off the ice, which was very serious.
Yes.
And horrendous. But, you know, that might be the biggest reason that the Kings have had a little drop-off. And I'm not sure if I know of any team that could lose their number two defenseman on two Stanley Cup winning teams, and then, you know, you cannot replace them. The
no.
rules and the situation does not allow you to replace them. So that hurts, and that's maybe the biggest reason the Kings have had a little dip.
Now, I agree with you. That's a very serious issue on a lot of levels, and the effect that it has on the outcome for the team. Again, these rosters are limited. You don't get 78 guys sitting around who you can draw from. You have to be very specific about who's on the team and who's, you know, sent down and who's, you know, IR. There's the rules are really clear, and this is a humongous hit for the Kings. And I agree with you. I don't know, you know, coming back from that is not easy. It's not going to be. There's no easy way to come back from that.
Yeah, and I want to reiterate once again, because I am separating the on-ice and off-ice here. If you are found to do what Slava did, then you have to pay the price, and he should pay the price, and he has paid the price. But on the ice, if we were just going to separate that and talk about that, then that's where you're. But then, you have to rebuild, and you have to get going, and we were just talking about it, but how interesting it is that, you know, the teams that were in the finals don't necessarily have that household name defensive core, but they still found a way to be successful. So that's something you build on and you keep working on it. And I think, you know, what we've seen now is everyone, teams, you know, is transitioning. The whole league has been for 5 years now, but now it's almost, you know, you're talking about the draft. Small mobile defensemen are gems right now.
Yeah, you know, it's incredible.
They wouldn't get a look before, right? They were too small.
That's right.
Now, you know, that's, you know, and Slava fits that mold. Of course, Doughty fits that mold. Anyone who can move the puck, a Martinez, you know, get the puck and move it. That's what you need nowadays. That's just the way the new rules that came in after the lockout. You know, it's taken an evolution process, but now you're to a point where those rules have had an effect. And the game has been played up tempo. It has allowed players to get to top speed without being restrained.
Yep.
And now you have to figure out a way to get the puck going the other way. And the best way, it seems right now, is to forget about the size and get someone who can get back there quick, turn, and move it up the ice.
Yeah, the size of the defenseman is unique. I mean, because you do see guys like England and Seth Jones and some of these guys that are pretty gigantic, but then you've got guys like Sammy Vatanen who, you know, he gets traded to New Jersey and all of a sudden he's a force for them. You know, he's 5'9", 5'10", or something like that, maybe 200 pounds. It's unique. And of course, you look at the Predators. I mean, they've got the ultimate, you know, I don't even know, I'm blanking the guy's name, but he's got to be like 5'7" or 5'8".
Brian Ellis.
Yeah. Brian Ellis. Yep. So he's
no question.
Yeah, you know, and it's such an effective player for them.
Oh yeah, you know.
I mean,
and it takes takes pressure. You know, you want that defender to be able to lock you down. At the same time, again, just because of the way the puck is moved up the ice nowadays, it doesn't have to, you know, they took out the red line, so you don't have to have, so now it's getting into your zone as quick as possible,
yep.
Which means you need to retrieve and turn it the other way as quick as possible. And, you know, Nate Schmidt on Vegas, Dmitry Orlov on the Capitals. These
yes.
guys are not necessarily considered big, but when you see them skate, I mean, Theodore in Vegas, I mean, this guy can absolutely fly out there. And so that, you know, much like, again, we were talking earlier about the statistics, or I was, or just the priority has shifted. You know, it's shifting away from defense as far as the numbers go, goals against, into goals for. And it's shifting from big, powerful D to mobile, quick feet, and move the puck.
Just want to take a break from the show to tell you about our sponsor, Indochino, spelled Indochino. And this is a custom menswear corporation. They're amazing. Indochino.com is the place to go to learn where you can go to a in-store studio to be fitted for your own custom suits and shirts. Or you can go to Indochino.com and learn how to take your own measurements, send them into the company, and get back your own suit with whatever finish you want, super high quality. And if they don't fit, I will be shocked, because their system is amazing. What you can do this week is you can go to Indochino.com and use the promo code Dr. Hockey, Drhockey, at checkout to get a premium Indochino suit for $379. That is 50% off the regular price for a made-to-measure premium suit. Shipping is free. Get on this website, check it out. You will look great. The finishes and the materials are amazing. Custom suit is the way to go. At this price, how could you possibly think about buying an off-the-rack suit? First of all, it's going to be more expensive. Second of all, it's not going to fit because it's made for some mannequin person that they imagine it would fit. Like, you know, that's not right. It doesn't make sense. If you get your suits custom made, trust me on this one, guys and ladies, if you're listening, and I know there are like six of you, get on there and get your man a custom suit, because he doesn't need to wear like the crap that's off the rack at, you know, wherever you're going. Anyway, if you do this, go on, use the Indochino.com promo code Dr. Hockey and get one of these suits. Hit us up on social media so that we can tell your story. We'll bring you on the show. We want to hear about it. You can call us up, be like, I got the best suit ever. You can call us up. You can tell us that it looks amazing. Send us a picture. We'll put it up on our social media. We want to promote our partner, Indochino.com, because they are what's making this podcast possible for you to listen to it for free. That's Indochino.com, promo code Dr. Hockey at checkout.
So what are the Kings going to do this year on the offense? Because they've, I mean, I think they have some great offensive players. Jeff Carter is hands down one of my favorite players in the league. He's just exciting, difficult to manage from, you know, from a defensive standpoint. And he puts the puck in the net at the when the Kings need it most, he's there. And Kopitar had his most successful offensive year in a long time, maybe ever. And they look like they have the weapons, but this is going to be the year that if they get their offense pulled together and have the strong D, I think it could be a great year for the Kings.
Yeah, I think, you know, the guys that are the core, and I'm a believer in that, the term window. And I don't know if I'm a dying breed. It used to be used quite a bit, and Washington probably disproved what I'm going to talk about, because Brian McClellan, their GM, a couple of, you know, 3 years ago said, well, we have a window here and it's closing. And if we don't win before the window shuts, then it's over. Well, everyone thought the window had closed, and all of a sudden they win the Stanley Cup.
They did it.
but the core with the Kings, you have that group. I mean, you have Quick, you have Doughty, you have Kopitar and Carter. Now you got to sprinkle in the other guys. So who dropped off as far as numbers? Pearson and Toffoli, those numbers dropped off a little bit.
Yes.
Browns, Rose. So now you're looking for different ways. Gilardi, the young kid, can he come in and play? If he can, and a lot of people think he can, the reason he will be there is to be an offensive, you know, production type of guy. Now, to rely on a 20-year-old to do that is not necessarily something that can be, you know, that's, there's a lot of risk there.
Right.
Risk management. But again, I think teams are going that way where they're going to accept a little bit of deficiency defensively if you're going to get up some top end offensively. And then, of course, the acquisition of Kovalchuk. And, you know, you can go a lot of different ways on that. I go this way. Are the Kings better now than they were without him? I think they are. What did they have to spend to get him? Well, they had to spend money. That's it.
That's right.
Easy to say. It's not my money. But right. It's easy to spend that. You don't have to give up assets. He's a free agent. You get him for something that you don't have to give up anything for. Okay, what does he do? He's a one-time shot guy on the power play. Well, what do the Kings need? One-time shot guy on the power play. They really haven't had a one-time guy. They don't have a guy that does that.
No, they don't.
And the other team, you know, the opposition is going to take that away. They're going to learn to take that away. Well, if they do that, other things open up. So I think there has been – I think this upcoming season – will be the first year in 3 years where you can make the argument the Kings personnel are higher skilled than the previous year. And I'm really looking forward to that.
Well, that's great. Cause I thought this Kovalchuk move was very interesting. I couldn't weigh in as to whether or not it's good or bad because I haven't seen the guy play in a lot of years and he's 36 years old. It's a 3-year deal. He's coming from the KHL, which moves at a very different pace than the NHL. And I felt that that might be a handicap for him, other than he's been there before. And can he come back and hit the Jets and make it happen? I mean, we'll see. It's interesting. I think you're right. I think they're better for having him than without him. And if he can do what you're saying and bring some activity to the power play, it'll be huge for the Kings.
Yeah, I know some people that saw him play. I know Dave King, he's a former coach in the NHL. He was over there and saw, you know, very experienced in European hockey. The one thing he continued to talk about was the fitness level of Kovalchuk and saying it's off the charts.
That's
this guy
great.
Is ready. You know, he's doing. So you look at all of those types of aspects. And the reason I brought that up was this. And, you know, you mentioned the 3 years and the numbers. It's a long term for his age.
Yes.
And it's big time money. But again, this brings me back to my philosophy, and that is window. Okay,
right.
How long is Quick going to be on top of his game? How long is Kopitar and Carter? And you know, so now you got to win kind of now.
And yes.
That's where I think, okay, did they overpay? Okay, you can make the argument that the number 6.5. Okay, it's a lot. Although if he scores 30, it won't be a lot. It'll be great.
That's right.
But I'm talking, if this was a team that I didn't think had a chance, then I would say it's window dressing. I don't think this is window dressing. I think the Kings and Rob Blake and Luc Robitaille and those, they see a little bit of what I'm seeing, which is nothing new, but it's that belief in the window of your core. And, you know, there might be a time in the next couple of years where that starts to change and you move guys in and out and that core group does start to change a little bit. But until that happens, you know, I mean, the Kings lost 4 straight, right, to the Stanley Cup finalists.
Yes.
But it was pretty close. So I think we're back to the same old thing in the NHL. Just get in. Just get in. It's tough to get in.
It is.
Tough. 16 teams. It's tough. But if you get in, you have a chance.
Yeah, and that's, you know, the Kings have certainly proven that. And I forget the whether it was 14 or 12, but they were down 0-3 in the first round. Not only did they come back and win the series, but they went on to win the Stanley Cup. And
that was 14, yeah, against San Jose.
That's right.
I think that one, Doc, I think that one was, and again, I don't know if numbers support this, but the most difficult road to the Stanley Cup final I've seen.
Ever.
Because San Jose, followed by Anaheim, followed by Chicago. I mean, that was murderer's row.
And, totally.
You know, the Kings found a way to do it. And, you know, again, when you get to the final against the Rangers, it was probably the first series where you could argue that the Kings, you know, were favored, so to speak. But, again, that cohesiveness they had and just that willingness to – I know when Dean Lombardi was here, I talked to him many times about it. And I think the one thing that came through, and I'm going to cliche up the yin-yang here, but, you know, if you don't care who gets the credit, you'd be surprised how much success anyone can have. And that's what happened. No one cared who got the credit on those teams. They didn't care. They just did it. They did what the coach said. They had their role. They accepted the role. They went out and executed. And, you know, then they all got credit because they won two cups.
Well, and that's right. And that's what it takes. And we saw that this year with Washington because, you know, I've seen the Caps get taken out in, you know, the years past based on everybody trying to push everything to Ovechkin or trying to push everything, you know, one way or another. And in this year, the Capitals played like a cohesive unit. And you know what? It really showed. They were able to rise above whatever stereotypes, problems, you know, past selfishness or even sort of the way the play had been dictated, all went away. And they really played an amazing Stanley Cup, and they got themselves, you know, through that 16 wins with some real grace. It was impressive.
Yeah, it reminds me right now, as I don't know if you're watching it, but the World Cup going on. And Messi from Argentina.
Yes.
I mean, he looks like Ovechkin was, because he's the best player on what people consider, although I guess Argentina's dropped off a little bit the last little while, last couple of years, as far as the ratings and, you know, the world ratings. But he's that guy who has not won on that level. And he is, you know, singularly the best player on the team. And you can just see and feel the pressure that he's under. And, you know, Ovechkin had the same thing for so many years where he was, you know, head and shoulders the best player on the team, but could never find a way to do it. But then, you know what, all of a sudden, you know what, he was the Conn Smythe Trophy most valuable player in the playoffs, and I'm not going to argue that. But I'll tell you this, he was not the best player on his team. I'll tell you that clean out. I mean, that Kuznetsov kid was the best player on that team.
That guy's unbelievable.
Yeah, and, you know, Carlson, you can argue back on the blue line. Yep. Oshie, how he played up front. There's also, when the Kings went through those Stanley Cup championships, the thing that stood out to me was this. You have your best players, and then you have difference makers. And,
yeah.
You know, I think that's a big part. The difference makers are the guys that are still, you know, high quality, maybe even star players, but they execute so well that they become that difference maker. And, you know, in 14, it was Gabrick. I mean, he led the playoffs in scoring.
Amazing.
Was he the best player on the team? No. He wasn't. Quick was better. Doughty was better. Kopitar was better. Carter was better. But he was a difference maker.
Yes.
And, man, I guess you need both. You need all those guys to get it done.
You do. And that's what we saw. I mean, with the Caps, I saw this Smith-Pelly kid, like, just, you know, tearing it up. He'd go out on the ice and he would make things happen that, you know, but for him, that it was just another day, another shift, but he'd get out there and he'd score and he'd set people up and he'd, you know, draw penalties. He was the real unsung hero for the Capitals in the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah. You could see that, you know, for whatever happened, and this might be the most difficult thing. And you hear players talk about it. And I just love nowadays how players are talking more and more about the coaching that they're receiving and the structure. But it used to be a huge, huge selling point for a coach to sell his player on the role and have that player accept it. I think Smith-Pelly is just a great example of that. He wandered around team to team to team. He's had some pretty good success in playoffs in the past, much better than he played during the regular season. But you could feel it in Washington where, you know, Barry Trotz was able to make him feel important.
Yes.
And again, did he get the most minutes? No. But when he got out there, he felt important, and that importance or that feeling just led to the success.
He wins it back to Foley. Scores!
No way!
Oh, my!
No way!
With no time remaining. This is reviewable, of course.
Oh, wow!
They're going to review it.
Hey, guys, just want to take a quick break from the show to tell you a little bit about who's helping us bring this episode to you for free today. That's Never Too Hungover. Never Too Hungover is the best tasting and one of the most effective ways to prevent hangovers. In fact, the fastest growing hangover prevention in the U.S. is Never Too Hungover. Never Too Hungover helps neutralize toxins created by alcohol, restores vital nutrients, and rehydrates the body with electrolytes. Take one 3.4-ounce bottle before or while drinking to feel great the next day. For you listeners of the Dr. Hockey podcast, use promo code HOCKEY, H-O-C-K-E-Y, to get 25% off your first order at nevertoohungover.com. So a little bit more about Never Too Hungover before we get back to the show. The key ingredients include potassium, B vitamins, milk thistle, green tea extract, aloe vera, and amino acids. It's sugar-free, gluten-free, low-calorie, and tastes great. If you're skeptical, check out all the incredible reviews on Amazon. It's available at many fine retailers across the U.S., including GNC, Vitamin Shop, BevMo in California, Specs in Texas, Binny's in Chicago, all the hottest casino resorts in Vegas, and of course, on Amazon.com and NeverTooHungover.com. Again, if you use the promo code HOCKEY while you're on NeverTooHungover.com, you'll get 25% off your first order. Now back to the show.
The countdown is on. 3, 2, 1, it's over!
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens because the Caps sort of took a little bit of a ding with there's a couple of things that I saw that happen already for them. I mean, Barry Trotz obviously going to the Islanders. This is a big deal.
Yeah, it was interesting in the run up to the playoffs because and Barry Trotz is not a guy. He's a great communicator, but he's not a guy looking for the limelight. So he didn't push it. He didn't talk about it. I think by the time he got to the final, everyone was talking about the fact that he had not, been given an extension. And who knows the reasons and who knows, was that part of a chip on his shoulder that he didn't go back and re-sign? There's a whole bunch of ways you can look at it.
Sure.
But they're going to have to find, it looks like they're going to probably stay within, but they're going to have to find that piece. Like, hey, we have to admit it, right? He was the difference.
Totally.
It took him 3 years to get there, but. And he was always accepted as a great coach. And, just that, out of that Stanley Cup final we just had, and just another great story to see Barry Trotz able to lift that Stanley Cup over his head.
Yeah, it was huge. And I think it's, I mean, the Islanders, I forget when they announced that they fired Doug Weight and the GM, but they announced it during the Stanley Cup. It was like a game two or three in the third round or something. Like, hey, the Islanders are firing their coaching staff, and I was like, why are they trying to steal the limelight during the Stanley Cup? And then, you see Barry Trotz resigns, boom, he's going to Long Island, and simultaneously, I saw they signed that big deal with Carlson, to stay on the Caps. They dealt Brooks Orpik to Colorado, and Joe Sakic said, well, we don't have a plan for you in this team. So I think Brooks Orpik was given his retirement papers, and it's amazing the movement that's going on right now. It boggles my mind. I wish I could hear all the backstory on all this, but I also kind of like to insert what I think is the story. It's kind of cool.
Doc, I think it's part of what you were touching on earlier, and that is salary cap.
Yeah.
And maneuvering and trying to get better and exist within that cap because, Vegas was built on that. They did maybe 5 2-for-1s, meaning they took a player that the other team didn't want because of the salary.
Right.
But in order to take that player, they were able to get another one.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an exchange. So what happened with Washington? Well, they got rid of some salary, but they had to give up an asset. So you're actually giving the other team, they're giving Colorado a player, and Colorado knows they're going to buy him out way before the deal's made. They know all that's going to happen.
Sure.
But it's a matter of, then they're able to, Colorado's able to get something else also,
right,
along with Orpik. And right now, Colorado is in a spot where they can take the salary, buy them out, which cuts down your actual salary cap hit, and maneuver that way. But that, again, if you want to break down Vegas, that's a great, great example of how you use the salary cap against the other teams and get more assets based on even the rules that were pretty good rules to build a team. They really worked those rules at least 5 times to get 2-for-1 deals.
Well, George McPhee, just genius with that. I mean, he read those rules and understood them, and he made some moves that just, it'll be interesting to see what they do now, because all those guys had career years and they're going to be looking for some big contracts. So this is going to be I can't even imagine what's going to go on in Vegas, but it's definitely going to be a very different looking team, I am sure, by the time October 4th rolls around.
Yeah, I think if you're around 25 years of age and you had the years you did, you're there. I think if you're over or you're near 30 and you had the great years, Perron and Neil, I think they're gone. I think Vegas has to do that. I mean,
yeah,
that'll be it's just one of those things that slaps you right in the face and you say, okay, and yeah, we can let's do it, go at it again, and let's try to win it, and why not? I mean, they're in a great situation, but then they're you know, risk versus reward and what are they going to do? So I think some of those guys, the only thing that might change there, and hasn't happened yet. We'll find out in the next week or so. But I think, you know, there has been talk about whether they can attract a John Tavares or an Erik Karlsson. Oh. Those are franchise players.
You bet.
So if you do, I don't think it's going to happen, but if that ever did happen, then you're in a situation where Vegas, then you might consider keeping some of those guys. But, you know, the timelines that are set forth and, you know, free agency July 1st and who's going to sign, what's going on, I think it's very difficult. But I think it's great that Vegas has even put themselves in that type of a conversation. That players would even think about signing with them, you know, even though it's only their second year next year.
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, it's just, it's incredible what happened there. What a great success story. And there's another one coming up. I mean, look at what's going to happen next June. You know, a year from now, we're going to be talking about the expansion draft for the Seattle team.
I think that's on
our heels. It's coming right now.
I think that, you know, McPhee set the blueprint. And I know there's a lot of people saying, well, teams won't give. You know what? If teams are in salary cap trouble, they're going to unload players.
Yes, they are.
And in order to do that, they might have to give something away to be able to reduce their salary cap by getting rid of a player. So there'll be some opportunities there. It's just an amazing, I don't know if we'll see it again, like the Karlsson, the sentiment in Vegas. I mean, you know, he, as far as I'm aware, he never scored more than 15 goals at any level before.
No.
And he scored 43, you know, so that's, you know, pretty darn good there. And that's something that I don't think will be reproduced, but, the more I watched him in the playoffs, he started to remind me of an Andre Kopitar a little bit again, just not his physical style, but how he thought the game.
Yeah.
He was very, very responsible along with scoring all those points.
Well, he had a career year, just amazing. So it's going to be fun to see what happens there. What's going to be the storyline for the Kings this year? Are they playoff bound? Are they cup contenders? From your experience watching this team and seeing how they do things, what's your prediction for this upcoming season?
Well, I'm that core guy, window guy. I think that when you have the players that they do have, yes, you always have a chance. They started the transition last year to get quicker. I think they will continue that this year. And, Kovalchuk is not necessarily known as a quick player. I think top end speed he is, you know, but he's like a Jeff Carter.
Yeah.
It takes him two or three strides. I'm not going to take anything away from Jeff Carter. He's one of the best skaters I've ever seen. But, I think they will get faster. I think there will be some, you know, moves that they started to make last year. For instance, just if you do have Kovalchuk now in the lineup, which he would be, now, you know, Kempe, does that move his position somewhat? And then does it move Iafalo down? Well, then all of a sudden you've got Kempe and Iafalo, but you still have speed. You have more speed. So those guys drop down to your third line, maybe even to your fourth line. But now you have speed throughout all four lines, and that's something that the Kings lacked. They won the other way, so that's fine. The NHL kind of retooled as a whole, you know, group and figured out that the better way to play, at least the more effective way to play, it was to speed it up in tempo and quickness and go away from size. So the Kings were caught in a little bit of a transition there. But I think that, again, I said it earlier, I think as far as skill goes, I think that this will be the first time in a couple of years where I could sit and go, okay, this team coming up is higher skilled than the previous year. And again, that's after a year of transition. So are they contenders? Again, eighth place gets you in, and I believe you're a contender for the cup. And I think that did not apply, you know, 20 years ago or 15 years ago, but it applies now where once you get in, that's just your ticket to a chance. Are they going to be favorites? No. They're not going to be favorites. Were they more fun to watch last year? Yes. Will that continue? Yes, I do believe so. I believe they'll be, you know, playing a little bit more of that style where, because it will have more creativeness to it. But again, you know, we all, it's funny, you talk about it, the game doesn't change a whole bunch.
No.
Regardless of your personnel, you can take the worst team in the league and the best team in the league, and as far as what you're trying, you know, there's fundamentals to hockey that don't change. But press the buttons, get the personnel to execute, and believe that they're in the role that they should be, and that's half the battle. So I think the Kings have a solid veteran core group there that will steer the ship. And again, because of the increase in skill level, I think they're a better team this year than last year.
Well, it sounds good. I always like going to the Kings games. I will definitely look forward to being there this year. And I hope they do great. It's always fun. I go to the Kings games. I go to the Ducks games, and whenever possible, any other city that I'm in, I'm just a hockey fan of epic level. So I hope the Kings do great. I hope that they make all the right moves and get to the playoffs again, which I think they will too. And
yeah, there are
we'll
people that feel that they might still have a move to make or so. And you know, what would you do? Do you have to give away a defenseman to get more offense? Have the Kings restocked the cupboard enough where that other teams will be interested in prospects or younger players that are still unproven, but at the same time they're on the radar now. Do you package a few of those and get again another bona fide scoring winger? If that happened, depending on the hole that was opened up to get that winger, then you're looking at the Kings, forward group as being a pretty solid group. But that means, keeping Pearson, keeping Toffoli, keeping all these kids and just adding as opposed to taking away. So that's always very difficult to do.
It is, because you got to give something up to get something in this league. It's just too tight with the salary cap. It makes it very challenging, especially, if you want to move a Kempe or a Tanner Pearson to try to get something else. I mean, those are hot prospects. And I think if you're in the front office of the Kings organization, you get to think twice about moving those guys, because they're the real deal.
Well, you look at, I think you have to just boil it down to what number are they? What's
right.
their number?
Yep.
How much are they making? And, they're still young enough. Tanner has been through a bridge contract, I guess. He was probably in the middle of one right now where, he's making decent money, but he's not breaking the bank. Kempe's still young enough where he's not, making money that's going to, be to the point where it's going to infringe on your ability to move within the salary cap. And that's what you're looking for. You're looking for those types of players that, you have to get younger from within, because the ability to go out and poach from outside is just no longer there.
Yeah. No, it's really, really, it's a big, big business, the moves that these guys have to make. And, I'm sure they sit there and mull them over for weeks, if not months on ends, before they do it. Well, Jim, I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with me. This is great. Your perspective on the Kings and the NHL is just it's awesome. And I hope that as the season gets going, again, we can get you on here and maybe come down and see or get you in the studio so we can. I've got Jason Berkeley, who's my normal co-host, but he's going to see Bruce Springsteen, so he's in New York right now. And we'd love to just chat more about it, because we follow the Kings tightly. It's a hometown team.
Well, that sounds great, but now I'm a little hurt. Springsteen over Fox. I'm a little hurt. So
we'll
see about that.
But. When you get your Broadway show, you let us know. We'll come.
There you go. Sounds good.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. Jim Fox, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
All right. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Dr. Hockey. Check out new episodes every Thursday. And subscribe on Apple Podcasts or at PodcastOne.com.